Well, I'm excited about this weekend's topic. Simple title, Worship Can Make You Smarter. All in favor of being smarter, raise your hand. We are here because we love the Lord, but you know, sometimes life can be so challenging that you feel like you're in a fog and you can't see your way forward. Sometimes it seems that no matter how hard we try, we can't see the forest for the trees. We're just stuck looking at details, locked into details, and we can't get the big picture. Sometimes, no matter how hard we're working at things, we can't find a solution for our problems. Isn't that true? It is true. We have problems that we can't solve. We have questions we can't answer. And we go through tests and trials, and we don't know how to face them. And these challenges can touch our work or our lack of work. They can touch our schooling, our education, whether we're in grade school or university. They can touch our finances, our family, our friendships, our health. And we can get stuck in every way, in our thoughts and in our actions, where we just keep running through the same old way of thinking and the same old way of acting, and nothing changes. Have you ever tried to change your mind and you keep thinking the way you thought? You make a vow to yourself when you go to bed, tomorrow morning will be different, and you wake up, and it may be different, but you're not. And we're all familiar with these experiences, and the feelings that they produce are also familiar. The fears, the worries, the anxiety, the distress, the hopelessness. And there are times when no matter how much we analyze and how hard we try to think things through, how much we try to figure out and to work things out, we simply cannot get ourselves unstuck. We are stuck in a rut. And for some of you, even hearing me say this right now is just making you nervous. Because when you're stuck and you don't know what to do after you feel like you've done everything, the anxiety can just have a slow build and then it never seems to go away. Well, tonight I want to help you get unstuck. And I want to share with you how God has designed worship and Shabbat together to help you so that you'll actually become smarter. Everyone's in favor of that, right? You'll become more creative, you will be more productive, and you will be a better problem solver with God's help. And it turns out that each one of us has two sides to our brain. You might knock on both sides. Both sides, your left side, your right side. And sometimes when we are stuck and we've analyzed and we've thought and we've pondered and we've tried to figure out things, what we've actually done is we've used one part of our brain too much. And it's locked us in, and we need to find a way out. And I have discovered that worship and Shabbat is one of God's keys for getting unstuck. Now, as I was preparing for this message, I came across a book that's just been recently published by Jonah Lehrer, and it's called Imagine, and the subtitle, How Creativity Works. It's about the science of creativity. For many of us, creativity and inspiration are like magic things. When they happen, and if they don't happen, there's nothing we can do about it. Well, Jonah Lehrer has found that there are many creative solutions that are hidden from us when we're trying too hard and when we're giving too much attention to the problem that we're trying to solve. And he notices that the human mind can actually get stuck in our analyzing. Have you ever heard the term the paralysis of analysis? You look at things and think through things and analyze them and weigh them so much you can't even make a decision and act. And there are times when we have to stop analyzing and we have to come to a place where we can see what's hidden. Did you know that sometimes God's already equipped you with an answer, but you can't see it? Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever had the experience that things are hidden from you? I'll never forget that. I think this was a little bit different, but when Sandy and I moved from one house to another in Roanoke, Virginia, we had a business, and when we moved, we couldn't find certain papers that we very much needed in order to deal with some of our bookkeeping. And we were searching and searching in the house, and we couldn't find it. And I remember I had this terrible feeling. I don't know if you've ever had this feeling. It was this: it's here, but I don't know where. And I ran out of steam. I stopped looking for a reason. I had a sense, this may sound strange to you, I had a sense that the Lord was actually hiding it from me. And so, at a moment of frustration, even panic, I said, God, if you're hiding it from me, it's a waste of time for me to keep looking, because I'll never find it if you're hiding. And I stopped looking, and I started praying. I said, Lord, would you help us? Well, we went to bed that night without any solution. The next day, one of our staff came to our house, and she said, a strange thing happened to me. She said, I had a dream. And I had a dream that there's something in your house that you need to find. And Sandy and I were just amazed. And she had not been in the house. She didn't know, you know, the layout. She said, so can we go downstairs? And then she said, and let's go in there. We went into a room she had not been in and didn't know existed. And she said, yeah, sort of nodding her head. She said, over in that corner. So she walks over to a corner. She says, yeah, that's where I saw it. And she reaches into this, you know, mess of stuff, and she pulls out a box that has what we're looking for in it. And she opens up the box and says, yeah, that's where I saw it in the dream. Now, at that moment, I had a sense of gratitude and fear. The gratitude was, now we found it. The fear is, God really did hide it from us, and he showed someone else. And it taught me something, that there are times when God knows what you're looking for and you can't find it. And he's waiting for just the right opportunity and even the right way to work before he is going to show it to you. Well, of course, Jonah Lehrer is not talking about this. He's talking about something else. He's talking about normal human ways of working. And he said that one of the surprising lessons of the research that's being done in the science of creativity is that if you're trying to force an insight, you can actually prevent the insight from coming to you. In other words, there may be times when you already have a sense or an understanding of what is right, but you can't get it out of yourself. You can't find it in your head. You can't find it in your mind. And he goes on to say, it's commonly assumed that the best way to solve a difficult problem is to relentlessly focus. And then he calls this unusual condition that comes to your mind the clenched mind, where your mind just tightens up and you can't get out of it what you need to get out of it. And he says it inhibits the sort of creative connections that lead to breakthroughs, and that we actually suppress the very type of brain activity that should be encouraged. When we get all bound up in that, we cannot receive even clear thinking at the normal human level. I'm not talking about supernatural revelation. I'm just talking about normal understanding and insight. Have you ever worried so much that you couldn't think clearly? Anyone? Have you ever had stuff like in the pit of your stomach where you couldn't pay attention to normal things? Well, there are methods that people can use to keep their attention going, to actually enhance their ability to work longer. Do you know what the two of the favorite drugs are for this? Number one drug of choice is caffeine. And the other one will be energy drinks, right? Okay, so all you Red Bull drinkers, listen up, because I'm talking to you. I want you to hear this. And everyone who tries to get high off of sugar. Caffeine and energy drinks may make you more alert, and they may help you work a few more hours, but in fact, they will enhance your concentration, but they will block those parts of your brain that are necessary for insight and creativity and understanding, and they can actually defeat us by using more caffeine. And I love caffeine. I don't like energy drinks. But by using these things, it enables us physically to keep going, but not to use the right parts of our brain. Let me read to you from a neuroscientist, Martha Farah, from University of Pennsylvania. She says, people assume that increased focus is always better, but they don't realize that intense focus comes with real trade-offs. You might be able to work 8 hours straight that way, but you're probably not going to have many big insights. And Lehrer comes to this conclusion through the research, and that is, it's not until you let yourself relax and indulge in distractions that you discover the answer. The insight arrives only after you stop looking for it. It's only at this point, after we stop searching for an answer, that the answer arrives. And the reason is, a relaxed state of mind is important for creative insight. When you're uptight, you won't have insight. When you're actually over-focused on the same old stuff, your brain doesn't become more effective, it becomes less effective. Now, Lehrer, he's writing some practical things for every kind of person. He says that one of the best things you can possibly do to relax is take a warm shower. How many of you have done that? How many of you take a cold shower? Do we have any cold shower folk here? Just a few, yeah, from the former Soviet Union and elsewhere. You go into the sauna, you get real hot, then you run out in the snow, which is very hard to find in Jacksonville, and you roll. That'll stir you up. If that doesn't work, you beat yourself with eucalyptus branches. That will also help after. And you know there's another thing that's recommended, and that is called daydreaming. We actually have in our synagogue a special section for people who need to daydream. And now, it doesn't mean that right now these people who are sitting there are in this condition, but you may be. But the window seats in the back corner over there are designed for people. We'll put the cone of silence over them. But they're designed really for people who want to be in the house of the Lord, but they need to be able to daydream a bit. And especially on Saturday, they work well. But even at this time of day where the sun's going down and it's getting a little dark, you might find yourself looking out there, your mind wandering. And that may be exactly what you need, is to let yourself relax a little bit. Well, let me say something about Jonah Lehrer's book. In no way does he talk about how worship will make you smarter. So if you buy his book and you're saying, well, Rabbi David said this is a really good book, it's not going to help you with worship because he doesn't actually address worship. I don't think he has any insight about it. And he's certainly not speaking about it, but he's looking into the research that helps us understand how God works when we come together. And it turns out that when you work harder and harder and harder to solve certain problems, you are less and less likely to solve them. You are less and less likely to have insight from within or to receive even insight from the Lord. But Laird does mention a few important pieces of research. The first one is the importance of our mood for creative problem solving. There are some German studies that Laird quotes that say that gloominess actually affects our creativity and our problem solving and our ability to gain insight. Can anybody confirm that from their experience? Maybe you've never read any German research, but who can confirm that when you're feeling gloomy, it's hard to be creative? And the second one is the importance of happiness. There's a researcher, Mark Beeman, and he found that happiness gives a 25% boost to how effectively people can solve puzzles that require insight rather than analysis. And Beeman goes on to say, even fleeting feelings of delight can lead to dramatic increases of creativity. Just having a little bit of joy can make the difference for you. If you can just even for a few moments get out of the gloom, the woe, and despair, it can make a huge impact on you. Now, Mark Beeman, this researcher, learned that the right side of the brain helps us find connections between seemingly unrelated things. It's the right side that helps us make sense of the whole so that we can see the forest and the trees. The left side is good for analysis, but the right side can see the big picture. And this is why when you're using only analytical approach and a lot of concentrated focus, you can't solve intractable problems. And you know what? When you're doing that, it's hard to hear from the Lord. It's hard to have a spiritual breakthrough as well. Well, as far as I know, Laird doesn't make the worship connection that worshiping God is one of the very best ways to break through. That's the insight I want to share with you now. I want to connect the ideas Laird has been writing about with worship and how worship can make you smarter. When we come to worship together on Shabbat like this, we're participating in one of the most powerful experiences that is available to us. And do you know why it's so powerful? Because we stop. We stop working. We stop trying to be productive. We stop our schedule. We stop our normal plans. We come into the house of the Lord and we shift gears. We come to honor Him. We come and we sing. We're doing an experiment here that you may not have been aware of in the congregation. We're lowering the sound volume of our worship team and our cantor, and you know what impact it's had? We're all singing more. When you can hear yourself and hear us together, you do more. We come and we pray and we give thanks and we worship, and we do something that is not always obvious. We take a break. We turn our attention away from our needs and our problems, and we take time to listen and to quiet our hearts. Now, I don't know about you, but I think most of us have had the experience of trying to worship and then being hindered by our own worries and our obsessive thoughts and our feelings. Am I the only one in the room who's had that experience? Who else has had that experience? Most of us. I would think all of us. And I think that's why the scripture teaches us to release our worries to God. Philippians 4:6 puts it this way. Do not be anxious about anything. That's easier said than done, isn't it? Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Let's say that. I'll call out the phrase you repeated. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Philippians 4:6. That's good. So it's one thing to not be anxious, but the positive thing we need to do is to pray about everything. And when the scripture is talking about praying, it's talking about just being honest with the Lord, saying out loud what you think in your heart, being honest with him. If you're used to telling other people everything, well, try telling God everything instead. And when you tell him what you need, thank him for what he's done. Sometimes we spend so much time focusing on what we do not yet have that we forget to be thankful for what we have already received. And this lack of recognition of the progress that we're making and that God is giving to us can actually hinder us from going forward. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Why can we do this? Because he cares for you. Now, I'm assuming you're sitting next to the person you're sitting next to because you're comfortable being there with them. And just look at that person and say, he cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. The reason you can cast your anxiety upon him is because he cares for you. You're not a burden to him even when you cast your anxieties on him. Now, it doesn't say cast your anxieties on the rabbi because he cares for you. I do care for you, but don't cast your anxieties on me. Cast your anxieties on him. Don't cast your anxieties on your husband or your wife. Cast them on the Lord because he cares for you. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will take care of you." That's what Peter was thinking about when he said these things. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will take care of you. And this takes some deliberate effort. We have to turn to God. You can't just show up here and it happens automatically. When you come, you have to turn to God. You have to make him the center of your attention. And then you have to let him carry the weight. You know how we can hold on to the burdens ourselves? We can keep them inside. We can let those terrible thoughts obsessively bounce around in our head. Who's good at that? Quite a few of us can do that really well. Sometimes it's difficult to just give them to God. And the way you give them to God is you open up to him and you say, "Lord, I can't keep this. It's more than I can bear." You tell him the truth. "This is too heavy a weight for me. I need you to carry it." And you might think, "Well, I can't do that. I don't deserve it." You're right. You don't deserve it, but you can do it. How can you do it? You accept that God is showing favor to you and mercy to you because of Yeshua. He has made a way for you to come into a right relationship with him where it's not based on what you did, but it's based on what he has done for you. And you accept that profound act of mercy on your behalf as the foundation of everything. You'll never be good enough to deserve God's help. And he loves you anyway. Anyway. So we let him carry the weight. Now there's something else we do. We have to deliberately engage our hearts in thanksgiving because this purifies our prayers and then it amplifies them. When I say purify, what I mean is it changes the very tone and the nature of the prayers. When you mix thanksgiving in with your prayers of need, it changes how you pray. And it makes them more attention-getting to the Lord. Do you know, just like parents don't want to hear their kids nah, 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 and whine and say, "You never get me anything," the Lord doesn't want to hear that either. But when you honestly bring your needs to him, even the things you cannot do for yourself, but you mix it with thanksgiving, he turns his ear. And then we have to give over to God all the negative emotion that locks us up. That sometimes is a tough one to do. Sometimes it's really hard to say, "Lord, I'm just tied up in knots here. Or I'm worried. Or I can't even see what tomorrow looks like." But when you tell God the honest truth about how you're feeling, he can work with you. And when you do these things, when we gather together to worship, it brings us real freedom. And when we come to worship God and we let go in this way, it allows our hearts and our minds to listen again. There is a way of offering to God thanksgiving while we talk to Him about our needs, where the weight of the needs becomes lighter. That's why Yeshua could say, I have a light burden and an easy yoke for you. And you know what happens? Our hearts and our minds not only can listen, but they work in a different way. And sometimes during worship, when you least expect it, you get the big aha. And sometimes it's from inside. Sometimes it's like, oh, I missed something, and now I understand. And other times, it's as if God gives His word to you, and you never had it before, but it comes to you, and you recognize that's the answer for what I need. Sometimes during worship, we suddenly have an insight that's the key to solving our problems, and it's like it wasn't available to us before because we were so bound up with our worries and we were over-attending our problems. But now, after we've lightened up and let go of some of the worry and we've communicated honestly with the Lord and we've been thanking Him and praising Him, it comes to us. And when it comes, sometimes it seems self-evident and obvious. And if it's that, why did we miss it before? And the reason was we were all bound up in the way we were thinking, the way we were feeling. This other way that worship can make you more creative and smarter. When you honor God and you draw close to Him with thanksgiving and you cast your fears and your worries upon Him, He may sometimes give you the word you lacked, the sechel or the wisdom you did not have and the understanding you couldn't get on your own. And we actually receive words from Him when we're worshiping. And sometimes there's a separation. It's like this. You could be praying and praying at the beginning of worship and you get nothing. And then you sort of lighten up. You begin to turn your attention to Him and you sincerely thank Him. And you sort of forget about what you were worried about. Is this familiar to some of you? And you stop thinking about the needs that you had and the problems that you can't solve and the questions you can't answer and the tests and trials you don't know if you can make yourself successfully go through. And you just start sincerely, like a little child, thanking the Lord. And when you're doing that, you're sort of lost in that new freedom. Something happens. And you hear. Who has had that experience? A fair number of you. At least a third of you have had that experience. And we actually can receive answers from Him when we worship this way. It's not our insights. It's not that it comes to us and it was just hidden inside of us and we couldn't get it out. It's that they are His insights and He's giving them to us. They come at surprising times and when we're not trying to get them, but when we're ready to hear and recognize them. God often speaks in a way that is like what Elijah described as the quiet voice of quietness or the still small voice, where it's not in the earthquake, it's not in the storm that we hear sometimes, but it's when we quiet ourselves before the Lord. Some of God's most profound things that He can say to us are said in whispers that we can only hear when we're quiet before Him. Worship on Shabbat's powerful for us. Yeshua said, Shabbat is made for man and woman, not man for Shabbat. Shabbat was given to us to help us because we need it. We need time to stop. We need time to focus on God and not our problems. We need time to relax in the house of the Lord. And you can say, no, I'm too busy. And guess what? that extra busyness won't break through for you. And you can say, I can't make myself get there. Well, do what you got to do to get there. Whatever it takes. We sing on Shabbat the Vashamru, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And sometimes we think we can get by working harder than the Lord, longer hours than the Lord. He's an eternal being with infinite resources, and he takes a break too. And I think the reason he does is not because he couldn't have kept going. It's because he wanted to establish a good pattern for all of us, that we would learn to rest and be refreshed. And there's something that refreshes the Lord when you rest in his presence and you honor him. Now, to receive all these benefits is not enough just to show up. We have to come into his presence with thanksgiving. We deliberately give thanks. If you have difficulty when you're here remembering what to give thanks for, make notes before you come and bring the notes so that you can give thanks. And we open our hearts to God. Don't just keep everything tight for yourself. You may say, well, I'm an introvert. How many of you like to use that excuse? Well, I'm not outgoing like that. But you can still open your mouth enough that you can hear yourself talking to God. Some people say, well, I can't really sing. And that's why the scripture gives all of us like that an out. Well, then make a joyful noise. You'll never be invited up on stage to sing, but you can make a noise. Make it joyful, which means loud enough you can hear it, but not so loud that no one else can sing around you. If you're like that. And what about the worries and the fears and the problems that trouble us? Well, these we have to cast upon him with thanksgiving. So it's not enough to show up and then be silent or passive. You won't experience all that you need that way. You come into his presence with singing. Join us in our Hebrew prayers. Join us in singing. You'll find breakthroughs this way. And when you do, you'll get free from what Lara calls the clenched mind. You'll loosen up your creativity. Will be reactivated and reawakened, and your spirit will be able to hear again. Your imagination, your intuition, your heart will open up, and you will become smarter. That's actually what will happen. You will go out of this place with more wisdom, more understanding, more power, more new ideas, more hope, more spiritual, emotional, and intellectual resources than you came in by worshiping the Lord. That's how God designed us. Red Bull will never do enough for you. Caffeine will never do enough. One more beer will never do enough. One more glass of wine will never be enough. One more drug, one more pill, one more hit will never be enough for you. But coming into the house of the Lord will be enough. It'll be more than enough. And I assure you of something. Those who come into the house of the Lord this way receive, even if they're the only ones who receive that night or that morning. When you come and you honor God with all of your heart, he'll meet you. He'll give you what you need. You will never come out of here empty-handed if you lift up your praises to the Lord. You'll always come out with more than you came in with. And you'll be smarter. You'll know what to do. You'll have understanding. You'll see your situation in a new way, and you will be equipped for breakthroughs. It works like that. Last Saturday, we had a spectacular time of worship Saturday morning. Who was here? Wasn't it awesome? Did it help you? It gave you what? He gave you a vision. He gave you a picture. You didn't make it up. It didn't come from inside of you. It came from him. It came from him. And you got it even though you couldn't have gotten it if you were looking for it. Right? He just gave it to you because he loves you. Right? And he was glad you were here. You're his favorite. Well, that's the reason. Carol, turns out. Well, did anybody else who was here Saturday get anything? Turns out, yeah, Carol's right. She's his favorite, but so are you. We're all his favorites. He's not neutral about us. He's not detached from us. He actually loves us. And something wonderful was happening on Saturday. And we just lifted our hearts, and the Lord was giving breakthroughs to people, and many people knew it. Now, it may be that you need more than one dose of breakthrough, and it may be that after you get a breakthrough of understanding, you've got to do the hard work of implementing and holding on to. Sometimes we receive from the Lord, but then we let go of what we've received, and that can just lead to heartache. But I want to encourage you, hold on to what God gives you. I was watching you, Carol, on Saturday, and I could tell God was giving you something. I didn't know what it was, but it was visible. It was visible. And he renewed my heart. He strengthened me. He gave me some things. And I am better for it. And you will be too. Well, let's close. Let's close with a simple prayer. Lord, we want to honor you. We ascribe power to you, O Lord. Your majesty is over Israel. Your power is in the heavens. You are awesome from your sanctuary. You, the God of Israel, you are the one who gives power and strength to his people. Blessed be God. Lord, we summon your power. The power, O God, by which you have worked for us. We thank you for your breakthroughs. We thank you for your favor, for your mercy, for your kindness. We pray for a release into us of new freedom, that we would receive what we have not yet received that we need for today and for tomorrow. And I pray, Lord, that we would be faithful to hold on to and to do that which you show to us. Blessed be the Lord. Lord, thank you for those who are joining us by podcast. Thank you for those who you're bringing to Jacksonville from far away. Thank you for the moves that you'll facilitate and for the jobs that you will open up for people, for the provision. Thank you for the relationships that you'll establish and connect. Lord, we thank you also for those who are listening by podcast and are giving in support of the synagogue and the building out of our sanctuary and our new cafe. And we pray your blessings upon all who give, that you would bless them abundantly, that we would pray one for another, and that we would count seriously the blessings that you're giving to each of us this way. Thank you, Lord, that you watch over us and you keep us, you know us, you love us, you call us by name. We matter to you. You certainly matter to us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Everyone stand up. No one be alone. Yivarechecha Adonai. Vayishmarecha, Ye'er Adonai panavelecha vichunecha yisa Adonai panavelecha vayasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.